to tell us where to go.
Those who use computers are often guided through a variety of steps. There is information along our nation's highways that guide us. There are TV guides, fishing guides, travel guides, guides of all kinds. When we look at the New Testament, we find that the Bible has some things to say about guides. One of the places, and I'm not going to read this, but I will mention it to you, where we find the word guide is Acts chapter 1. The word that is translated guide is used both as a noun and a verb, and as we look at this word and the places where it occurs, we find that the term has some things to say concerning our soul. I want to begin by showing and sharing with you some of the places where this word is used as a noun. Each time the word guide is used as a noun, it always has a bad sense. And one of the places where we find this word used as a noun is in Acts chapter 1. The word is used to say that Judas was a guide. He was a leader. He took people to where Jesus was so an armed mob could capture the Lord. And this usage of the word is significant because it shows us that not all guides are good. We realize it in the secular realm, but certainly we sometimes need a reminder about this in the spiritual realm. Now, Judas was a good guide in the sense that he was able to take the people to where Jesus was. He had a good sense of direction. He apparently knew where Jesus was going to be. And yet, he was a bad guide in the sense of the fact that he did something that was very, very wicked. In addition to Acts chapter 1, we find that this word is used in some other places. In fact, it's used quite often by Jesus. And again, it's used in a negative sense. It's found in Matthew 15 and also in Matthew 23. I want to read three passages. The first comes from Matthew 15, and then we'll pick up with two references from Matthew chapter 23, verses 16 and 24. Aside from Acts chapter 1, aside from these references in Matthew 15 and Matthew 23, the word is used as a noun only one other time in Scripture, and this is Romans chapter 2, verse 19, and we'll eventually get there as well. If you found Matthew 15, let's see what Jesus has to say in verse 14. It's a familiar passage. Let them alone. For Jesus said they are blind guides, and if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into a pit. Guides, blind guides like Judas lead people to do bad things. But Jesus here used the same word to make another point. He said that there are some guides who are so bad, so off, so awful that they're actually blind. In other words, there are some people who say, follow me. But even though they encourage people to follow them, Jesus affirmed in verse 14 that they cannot see. They're so unqualified that Jesus said that not only the guide, but the people who follow them will fall into the ditch. These people want people to follow them as they go off the road. And this is one more passage that warns us about accepting and following a religious guide. We need to make sure that it is the right one. The passage also, Matthew 15, 14, tells us something about the seriousness of being a guide. Who can guide others if he or she is blind? If we need a guide to cross the street, which one of us would select a person who cannot see? If we are driving down the road and we need someone to guide us in new territory, which one of us would select a person who cannot see? Who, if they need surgery, would want a blind man to direct the operation? In the physical realm, those questions are obviously answered. And yet, in the spiritual realm, sometimes people say, well, we're going to be guided by whoever is out there and whoever wants to lead. Jesus says very clearly in Matthew 15, 14, that when we find blind religious guides, leave them alone. And the reason is clear. If they cannot see where they're going, how can they ensure that we're going to be directed in the right way? We surely would agree with him. We do not want to be associated with blind guides. Blind guides are so serious that when Jesus gets to the information in Matthew 23, he lays it on very, very thick. These people were condemned for a number of things, and one of the things that Jesus followed them for was blind guidance. In Matthew 23:16, again, we have this same word. It's being used in the same way. It's used as a noun. He said, woe unto you, ye blind guides, I say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. We sometimes have people say the word woe, and they probably mean by that stop or slow down. But that's not what Jesus means by woe in this particular place. In the New Testament, this word often describes a warning or a judgment. He again emphasized that blind guides are bad news, and he pronounced a judgment upon them. And once again warned his people to stay away from them. In this chapter, the word woe is repeatedly used, and one of the reasons for this is found in verse 24 of Matthew 23. And again, we cite this passage because this same noun is used. Ye blind guides that strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Many who are blind guides teach something, but it's not the truth. And since the truth will be one of the determining factors in where we spend eternity. We need to know it and obey it. But in this particular case, Jesus, in calling these people blind guides, affirmed that they emphasized the wrong things. These people were teachers, they were religious instructors, but Jesus said when they taught people, the information that they gave them was not the information that they needed to properly serve God. People were given guidance, but it was not the wrong guidance, and that still happens. Multitudes of people in our world are being guided by blind guides. People are headed for the ditch, and people are just lining up to follow them to destruction. It's like animals going to the slaughter. One takes the lead, and the others fall in line. In Matthew 7, you may remember how Jesus said many religious people will be sent away from him on the day of judgment. And part of the problem will be that some of those folks followed blind guides. Yet we live in a time when there are still a number of people who are content to follow false religious guides. And Paul really makes this point plain in Romans 2, verse 19. And again, we cite this particular passage because this uses the same word that's translated blind, and it also uses it in the same way. It's used as a noun, and it is used in a negative way. You may remember that in Romans 1, Paul condemned the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 2, he condemned the Jews. In chapter 3, he condemns all people, says that each one is under sin. As he talks about the Jews in Romans 2, he says in verse 17 that the Hebrew people rested in the law. They thought that they had a law from God and that everything was okay. They had been instructed out of the law, Romans 2, verse 18. And then Paul says in Romans 2:19 that these people wanted to serve as religious guides. And are confident that thou art thyself a guide of the blind, a light to them that are in darkness. The Jews, according to Paul, said to other people, oh, you don't know about God. You don't know the right way. But we are God's people. We are spiritual people. And let us direct you. We will help you. We will show you the right way. We are here to aid you. And they were zealous. The Hebrew people were anxious to serve as guides. But Paul says in Romans 2:19, even though they were leaders, they were not good leaders. They were leading people down a road which was incorrect. And that's the kind of thing still happens. I'm not sure why, but we live in a time still when people want to serve as spiritual leaders. And in many cases, the people who seek or the people who have this position are blind guides. The Jews, described by Paul, were religious guides, but he makes it clear from verses 21 and 22 that they were very bad as far as their guidance. Notice what he says. Thou therefore that teachest another, they were guiding people, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest that a man shouldn't steal. Paul said, you're not a good guide because you do that very thing. And then in verse 22, he said, thou that says that a man should not commit adultery. Try to serve as a guide in this area as well. But Paul said, dost thou commit adultery? You're guilty of the same crime. Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou rob temples? We have the very problem described in these verses. People today are looking for a religious guide. And people, quite often, are content to line up behind anyone who stands up and says, follow me. The Bible itself shows that there are so many people who want a religious guide. People are seeking someone who will offer them some kind of religious instruction. Again, I said that this word that we are looking at, and I'm turning now to Acts 8, is used as both a noun and a verb. We've looked at the places where it's used as a noun. But the word is also employed a few times as a verb. And one of the places where we find this word used as a verb, and this place is a positive use of the word, is in Acts chapter 8. Most will remember that in this chapter, the conversion of the eunuch is described. This man was on his way home. He was reading his Bible. He was studying from the prophet Isaiah. And as he was going along, God sent a preacher to this man. And after the evangelist reached this man, there was a question. And we find out about this in Acts chapter 8, verse 30, about halfway through the chapter. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, understandest what thou readest? A simple question. Notice, if you will, what the man said. And here's where we have the word used as a verb. And he said, how can I, except someone shall guide me? This man was interested in God. He was interested in spiritual things, and he said that he needed a guide. He needed someone who would direct him, someone who would lead him. He was searching for a spiritual destination, and he said, can you help me with the right way? He wanted to see if this preacher could aid him. And we have a world full of people who are just like this man. People who are looking for some kind of religious guide. We have, and I've seen figures recently, literally millions of people who are pulling their religious information off the internet. How come? They're looking for a religious guide. People will tune in to the TV. People will tune into the radio. And they'll listen. They'll pay money. Because people ask for it. How come? They're just like this man. They are looking for a religious guide. People want help. And there are a number of people in our society who have literally lined up and said to these folks, we'll help. You want a spiritual guide? You want a religious leader? We will serve in that capacity. And that's not a new problem. You may remember in James 3, verse 1, James did not use the word that we're looking at, but he had to remind those Christians, be not many teachers. How come? Because there were a lot of folks in the first century who wanted to serve as a religious guide. And the problem became so out of control that James says this needs to stop. You need to realize the responsibility of being a religious teacher or instructor. Another place where this word is used, and I'm not going to read this, but it's John 16, verse 13. You may remember that in John 16, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was going to come. And one of the things that the Spirit would do, He would guide them into all truth. The Holy Spirit also served as a guide. And that's interesting because Jesus makes it clear in John 16 that the Spirit was not going to serve as a false guide. He was certainly not going to be a guide like Judas. He was not going to be a bad guide like the Jews in Romans 2, verse 19. But the Spirit was going to serve as a guide. He was going to serve as a leader so the people of God would go in the right way. And so they could direct others in the right way as well. The point made in John 16 should be important to each one of us. At least several of us in this assembly have guided a vehicle into some kind of structure. It may be a garage, perhaps. If we do some driving at work, we have to take a vehicle into a certain area. And we know, as we guide that vehicle, the importance of guiding it correctly. If we do not guide it between the parameters that we have, it's going to suffer damage. If guidance in the secular realm is important, if people suffer damage, if guidance is not done correctly, should it not be obvious that the same kind of fate is going to be experienced in the spiritual realm as well? Should it not be clear? If guides in the physical realm are important, we need to have the right guides in the spiritual realm too. Since some guide with truth and some guide with error, and the references that we have looked at show that both are right, should we not insist on a guide that has and uses and follows the truth? One would think that that fact would almost be self-evident. If we refuse to use a false guide in the physical realm, why on earth would we deal with it in the spiritual realm when we're dealing with something that is spiritual and eternal? And yet we still face, as we go out these doors, multitudes of people who are content and satisfied with any old religious guide. Many believe that as long as they have some kind of spiritual guide, they are okay. When we look at the noun and the verb form of this word that's translated guide, it really leaves us with two important points. And the first one is, there is a sense in which each one of us in this assembly is going to be guided by someone or something. Guidance comes from preachers. It comes from elders. It comes from our Bible class teachers. In an indirect way, guidance comes from the congregation where we worship. It comes through the publications that we read, perhaps the things that we receive through the internet. It comes from the people that we fellowship. And we must remind ourselves that there are some very bad guides in the world. Some guides that Jesus says in Matthew 15, 14, that if we follow them, both the guide and those who are guided will fall into the ditch. Blind guides can also exist through Bible translations. This isn't the time to go into this at some length, but there are some versions of the Bible that are beyond horrible. There are some versions that have been put out by people that do not even qualify to be a bad paraphrase. And the people who allow themselves to be guided by that kind of translation, even though Bible is stamped on the front, are following a bad guide. If we are going to be guided towards heaven, let's use guides who can see. Let's use guides who know the right road. Let's use guides who know the truth, who teach the truth, obey the truth, and stand for the truth. And if we do that, if we're using the right things to guide us to eternal life, then there's going to be a second consequence. And the second consequence is that we are going to be a good guide to others. Those of us who are Christians, there are times in our lives when we are going to serve as a guide to someone else. People at work will have a religious question. They're going to be perhaps involved in a religious discussion. And the person that they're going to turn to, if they know that we're a Christian, is going to be us. We're going to be the one that they come to for leadership. We're going to be the one that is asked a question. And it must be our goal, if we're a Christian, to be the right kind of guide. We need to be like Philip in Acts chapter 8 and not like Judas in Acts 1. All kinds of guides exist. Are we committed to being guided by the right people and the right things? And then in turn, being the kind of guides that God wants. The kind of guide that we read about in John 16, 13, guiding people with truth and right. Our world desperately needs guides. Go up and down any street, and you'll see all kinds of guides. On every hand, we have guides in the world. We, as God's people, need to be a guide. The Jews failed, but surely we don't want to be like them. Are you someone who's a Christian? If you are, will you commit yourself this night to being a guide to those who are lost? One of the most important things you'll ever do as a child of God. If you've not become a Christian, then tonight you can start guiding others in the right way by becoming a child of God. That's how the process begins. If you believe in Christ and you want to live in the right way, you're on the right road. Confessing Christ and this evening being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 22:16, allows you to start a process where you can help lead others in the right way. Are you willing to do what's right? Are you willing to serve as a guide? And if we can help you do those things, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.